What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Trade with Logic podcast again. This is episode 6, and we'll be discussing brokers. I'm here today with Shahan again, the CTO of LogicFX. And last time, what was it we discussed?
We were talking about red flags in Forex, so all the Instagram influencers, non-regulation. And we're going to elaborate more on the regulation in this podcast, specifically to do with brokers.
Yeah, that was it. And sorry the podcast has been a bit late. We've been a little bit busy, but we'll try keep it consistent now. So, yeah. So, brokers, what's your thoughts on it, Shan? What should people look out for?
So, the obvious thing that everyone is informed of is regulation and non-regulation. So, a regulated broker, depending on which country you're from. So, for example, say you're in the UK, and a broker's regulated in the US, that doesn't mean it's, it just means it's credible from the US branch of it. It doesn't mean you'd be protected by the regulation because it's not in where from where you're based, which is an issue. So if you're from the UK and you're looking at US regulated brokers, although it helps their credibility and it isn't entirely bad, it's better to find a broker that's regulated where you're based.
Yeah, and that's so that if anything bad happens, right, you can report it to your regulatory body in your country. You know, you can't report something that's happening in your country when it's going on, when it's coming from a separate regulatory, right?
Yes. So we're talking about regulatory boards. The first thing you should be doing if you're looking for a specific broker and you have your eyes on a couple of brokers is find which what regulatory board is there for your wherever you're based. So the UK, it's the FCA. For the for France, I think it's the ESMA. I could be mistaken. And for the US, it's the SEC. But there's a bunch of these financial regulatory boards that are that you can search on Google, and they have their database all public, so you can search up whatever broker name in their database and you'll see whatever comes up, whether they're regulated, whether there's a warning out on them, whatever is available there you'll be able to find.
Yeah, so in the UK you basically want your broker to be regulated by the FCA for your own protection, and obviously so you know that they're abiding by UK law. It's easy to do. You just Google financial regulator and then type your country afterwards. So in the UK obviously it's FCA, but in other countries it'll be different, and then from there you'll want to find out what brokers are regulated and then choose from this little watch list from there.
Okay, so let's talk about why look for regulated brokers over non-regulated one. What's the big difference? So one of the big differences is you'd be protected in a sense if something goes bad, so like there's a crash or they give you negative balance, you can't withdraw your money, all these various issues that could arise. With a regulated broker, you have something to fall back on. With a non-regulated broker, there's nothing. Your money would be gone. You just have to take that loss. And the other thing is, whatever claims a non-regulated broker makes, it's not verified by a third party. Whereas for a regulated broker, whatever claims they make can be verified by the regulatory board that's regulating them.
I think that is true. So whatever they're doing, their activities, their promotions, whatever like that, they have to abide by the law within their country, right? They're basically being audited by this regulatory to abide by this. So I know like in the UK now, I think brokers can't use financial incentives to get retail clients anymore. So before, what they do is like you get $300 or $350 bonus, but now they can't do that in the UK.
Yeah, those bonuses had a lot of strings attached to them, which a lot of people were getting lured in by because they see a £100 bonus and they don't read the fine print.
Yep.
And now with the regulatory board protecting the users of the service, the customers, it actually makes it more safer for the general populace.
Yeah, so like obviously in the UK now, retail clients have things like negative balance protection, and they have less leverage, which can be good and bad, depending on what level you are. But in a sense, overall, they're trying to make it cleaner and safer for retail clients to use, but they'll only react once there's been big problems. And
Yes.
that's a slight issue, but at least they do something.
Yeah, it comes at costs. So obviously having a lot of regulations adds loads of restrictions, you reduce leverage. Negative balance protection makes it so that you get smart stopped out at 30% of your margin.
I think it's that.
Well, yeah, you get stopped out at whenever your balance drops below 30%, you're well. What's the non-claimed balance called again? The term's not coming to mind straight off the top of my head.
I think it's the, is it the variable or the initial? The initial is what you deposit, right? And then obviously the variable depends on the position, right?
Yeah, it's the. I will come back to that. It's
Yeah.
basically whenever you have an open trade and you haven't closed that trade yet, it still hasn't been, well, finished. The trade is still ongoing. So whether it's in profit or in a loss, it's not your actual balance. It counts for something else. Whenever that drops below 30% for some brokers, 50% for some brokers of your initial balance, then you could get st smart stopped out, which is one of the costs of negative balance protection.
That's true. So for some experienced traders, it's unlikely that that will happen, but it can be a cost, as Shahan said. And brokers themselves, a lot of them, they're incentivized by two major things which retail clients should know. That's the spread, which is why a lot of people look for low spreads, because it's a cost to them. And then it's the commissions, which is another reason why clients are looking for low commissions, right? You don't want to be paying extra costs for your trades. And there's some inherent flaws with this structure of being charged for between for spread and commissions. So,
Yes, so I'll go into that.
yeah.
So let's say you're given a deal of every lot you trade, the broker gets $50, $60. Now, if you're the broker, you would want your retail clients to be pushing as many lots as possible through your service. So you're incentivized to increase their volume of trading. And that adds a lot of conflict. So one I know that's pretty common is a broker would make certain indicators or target levels or various tools to incentivize your trading to make you trade more built into the platform they use. So I know for the current broker I'm using and the platform I'm on is CTrader. They have this, as soon as you download the software, there's these target levels. There's target levels, they're not, well, they're okay, but they don't have any of the logic behind it. They don't explain why all these target levels are there. It's just a way to get people to impulse trade.
It's like skewing your perception of the markets, right?
Yeah, and well, if you're a newer trader, you would some. Quite a lot of people might have put a couple of lots onto trades that are based on that target level, which the broker would want them to do as they get more commission off their either their spreads or the commission per lot.
That's it. And that's another reason why basically broker education and broker analysis, all those factors, you should really take with a pinch of salt, because in the end, they're incentivized for you to trade more and to trade with higher lot sizes.
Frequency, yes.
So trade more, and they want you to trade with more money. They want you to leverage more. And this is a problem. This is the reason why a lot of brokers will tell you to trade on news, when in fact, trading on news is a ridiculous, like, it's a gamble essentially. And it's
If
really
you
not
don't
in
know
your
what you're
favor.
doing,
Trading
it's
on the
not
volatile
always.
piece itself is very,
Well, yeah,
what's
it's
the
very
word?
volatile.
Yeah, it's just insanely volatile. It's not in your favor because they control spread as well, which is another cost to you. So even if you do trade on news, the spread goes insanely wide where you wouldn't make anything over the long term. They're the casino, you're the player. They're the only ones making the money. And they're also creating the structure for you to play like a casino. So you're always going to lose in the long term if you abide by their rules.
Yes, unless you go at it a more smarter approach and you know exactly what you're getting into.
So
So when you're looking at a forex broker, there's two types, two generalized types. It goes into more like specifics, but there's one called a dealing desk and one called a non-dealing desk. You might have heard these terms and you're not sure what they mean. So what a dealing desk is basically they could the broker, if they don't have enough volume to match your sell order, they could take the opposite position of your trade to match it, because most retail traders lose, so them taking the opposite position to you is beneficial to them, and they might take a little bit more on top of from the spread as well. Whereas a non-dealing desk broker will charge higher spreads and higher commissions, or higher spreads or a flat commission as their main source of making profit for the broker.
And then even then, right, you don't know what goes on behind the scenes, even if they're only charging the spread and commission. They may still be siphoning off this data, which is essentially illegal, but they could be doing it. You don't know because you're not in control of that back-end data.
Yes.
And the first option, which Shahan said, where they take the opposite trade to you, essentially, as many of you should know, up
Is
to
a massive
90%,
conflict.
yeah, so up to 90% of the retail clients lose money. So why wouldn't you take the opposite trade as a business, right? You'd have a 90% success rate. You'd be winning all the time and never losing. It's like an ultimate business.
That's why they're required to disclose what type of broker they are. Now, some of these brokers could lie. They could say they're a non-dealing desk, but end up being a dealing desk through some loopholes or weird wording, wordplay. But a regulate if they're regulated, you at least have a regulatory board that you can trust to, well, check if they actually are what they say they are. And if they aren't, you could sue them, and there's a place that you can sue them because of the regulatory board. You can sue them through a regulatory board, or you could at least confirm whether they are a dealing desk or a non-dealing desk. Now, there's obviously more types. That's just a really broad category, dealing desk and non-dealing desk. It goes into like exact methods of execution, how it works, but that's a long topic that should be weeded out thoroughly.
But they're the main conflicts that brokers have, which is obviously the spread commission. You're incentivized to trade more and with more money. And then obviously there's that OTC gain, which is where they take the opposite trade to you. And what else is there, Shan? What
So
else should retail
spreads.
clients look out for?
Oh, I've noticed this as well. When I signed up to my broker first, well, a couple of brokers, they would get ask for your phone number, they'd give you a call, or they'd follow up with you with an email from like a sales staff, and they would try to get you to move on to live or make it seem as if going live is a good option for you, like straight away. So if you sign up a demo account and you give your phone number, they'd be like asking you questions about various things, and until it like gets worded in a way that makes you think going live is a good option with them. Obviously, it's part of their business model, they have to retain their clients, but you should be aware that it's part of the business model and not get lured into changing how you're going to approach Forex just because of a call from a broker.
That's it. Their business model is designed for them to win, not you. So always keep that in mind whenever, whatever comes out of a broker's mouth, any social content, any content at all, education, you really need to remind yourself that they're incentivize you to basically, they're incentivized for you to basically lose all the time. Think of it like a casino. They're the casino, you're the player. And if you remember it as that, you'll always be skeptical, at least, of the stuff they'll say and not take it on board as professional advice. Because what they'll do is they'll just name a random person who works in the broker as a professional technical analyst or a professional analyst, right? Just on social media. But there's no backing, there's no claims to this. And it's quite a big issue for people with fresh eyes. But if you're a bit more skeptical, you'll realize that obviously they're BSing a little bit about this. This guy knows nothing. He's
Yeah, a
just
professional
regurgitating.
analyst, that term, professional analyst, it just means they're paid to analyze. It doesn't mean they're good at it. It doesn't mean they have the necessary qualifications and such. It just means they're paid to analyze, and that would be a technically the correct thing to call them.
And yeah. Got anything else to say about brokers then? The retail traders.
Yes. So we were talking about how a broker's incentivized to go against you and how they'd make a lot of the commissions. Then why wouldn't they charge a lot more for commissions? Because some people might think, oh, one, they just like 0.5 pip spread. It's nothing. It's not a big deal. Right? But they don't just take it at the spread. They take spread, commission, and sometimes they take increased swaps as well, so for interests.
That's true.
But the reason why they're not as exaggerated, like 10 pip spreads, 20 pip spreads, is because of the competitive pricing. Because there's not just one broker, there's multiple brokers, so they have to remain competitive. If there was like a monopoly on broker, so if one broker had complete control of the market, that'd be terrible for every trader.
Because you get these really big spreads, right, and really fat commissions.
Yeah, and there'd be nothing to stop them from doing such a thing. One such example of absurd spreads are, let's say you're going abroad and you were to go on a holiday. So you convert your, let's say, pounds to Turkish lira. Whatever the going rate for Turkish lira is, they would take a massive, like 2,000 to 3,000 pip spread on it. And they would make their commissions off that. Because, well,
That's how they make
your
money, right?
option at that time are restricted. You can't go get competitive pricing for it unless you plan way in advance, and most people don't. And we're lucky that that type of situation isn't apparent in Forex,
That's
and
true.
there's a lot of regulation and protection. For newer markets such as the cryptocurrency market, there's definitely a lot more shady and what's the word? Poor business practices.
Yeah, unethical.
Yeah, unethical business practices that go on in that space, which we're lucky that it doesn't happen to that extent in Forex, but it's starting to bleed out into the other markets from the cryptocurrency space. I've noticed it a lot in recent years, how after the crypto boom, all these influencers and such are moving out into these other markets to try and exploit these markets in the same way they did the cryptocurrency one.
Yeah, essentially they exploit the hype.
And I've especially seen a growth in trading-based MLMs recent years. They're starting to fall off because, well, how would you sustain such a thing? It's completely unsustainable.
Yep,
But
that's
that's a
true.
topic for another day.
Just to point out, one of the main MLMs in Forex is actually being scrutinized by the FCA. So the FCA has called them out for being an unregulated body, which is
Providing
practicing.
financial instruments, advising on financial instruments.
That's it.
Also, The ESMA has called them out. The Belgian services has called them out on an alert. It's the French board especially has specifically called them a scam targeted towards young and impressionable people, typically between the ages of 18 to 25, selling them some dream of like crazy material gain.
So
And
just
those are the type of people to fall for such a thing.
so you really need to check that before you. That's the importance, right, of financial regulators. If you don't
At
check
least,
that, you could have protected yourself from a potential scam or a really unethical business.
that's why always do your research on either brokers or services that incentivize to, well, incentivize off you, because they're not doing it from an altruistic point of view. They're doing it as a business model to make money off of you, the consumer.
And that's also why in our previous videos we were like, educators are incentivized for you to trade more and to trade with higher leverage and things like that, because it's
If
also
they,
in the broker's mind.
yeah, if they have an IB agreement. If they don't, then not as much, but there are other incentives there. Now, obviously, you can't get around incentives. There'll always be people that, when they provide a service, they would always be incentivized. It doesn't mean it's bad, like not totally bad, but you have to be more careful when they are incentivized, because, well, it's in their best interest to make as much money off of you as they can.
That's true. That's true. And in the end, that is basically the broker structure, making as much money as you can from you. And yeah.
For me particularly, my commissions on my live account are quite insane. I think I've paid more in commissions than I've made in trading, which is
It
insane.
they can literally they can add up so much that it makes a massive difference. You can make a bot and re you can literally prove this. If you make a bot and you remove commissions and spreads, it'll be a profitable most of the time.
Yeah, it flies up the rate
But
of gain.
because you've had spread and commission, these bots are no longer profitable, which is why a lot of these EAs and Forex robots don't work, because they don't work with commission and spread.
Yes.
But yeah, we discussed that a little bit before.
Yeah, my account goes up and down a lot, so it's not like a flat gain. But because it goes up and down a lot, the number of lots going through my account makes it so that the commission's pretty high.
That's
And
true.
it's one of the costs of trading.
That is it. But you have to play by the current structure, but essentially you have to be aware of the problems in the current structure and how to avoid them and how to win as a retail trader.
That's all.
Yeah. I think that covers brokers pretty well. We've gone over the regulatory bodies, what to look out for, what type of conflict of interest they have, the spread, commission, and OTC gain, and all the other nitty-picky things about brokers, which you should definitely
Actually,
check
there
out.
was one thing I think I missed. It's platforms in particular. So the most common ones, obviously MT4, MT5. But there are other platforms such as Ctrader and such. But their prices for each broker on each platform will vary because it's not centralized. And the way the prices and deal maps are done is different from application to application. So let's say X broker would have a different price or different candlestick chart, just slightly, on the Ctrader application over their MT or over the same broker's MT5 application. So when choosing which platform you're going to use, you should look into the differences,
That's
because
true.
sometimes it could be a big thing. And you should look at which brokers provide which platforms.
Platforms.
MT5 might not be the best option for you. I know a lot of people promote it because it's the most mainstream one, but there are better platforms out there. Well, I personally think they are. There are.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, MT4 and MT5, whatever they are. last time I had a look at them. They just look like some Windows 69, Windows 10, whatever. You
Yeah,
know.
very outdated UI.
Yeah, it's just looked terrible. I don't know how people trade on that, but you know, at least on CTrader, it's a platform which is u friendly usability, and it's easy to bring up charting software and things like that, looking at quote prices.
Yeah, there's a lot of features and it's regularly updated, which is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to the user's discretion what works best for them.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, anything else? Anything else on brokers?
The rest would be an in-depth topic. All the surface level stuff, I think we've covered.
Yeah, well, we do go in depth in it in the Logic FX Academy, which will be released soon. But yeah, that's just a quick rundown, really, of brokers and forex brokers in specifically how to deal with them and what to look out for. And I think that's it, really. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in to our next podcast, which is, I don't know, we'll let you know. See you guys later.
See ya.